want to be mindful of his will, mindful of his spirit. We're going to start in Matthew chapter number 5. If you got Matthew chapter number 5, say amen.
Amen.
If you ain't got it by now, look off to your neighbor. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 13, this is what the Bible says. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men." Go to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. And we're going to read verse number 50. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible says salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Would you help me pray? Precious God and wonderful Savior, Father, we come before you, Lord. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, Father, for sticking by us and standing by us, Lord, even when we fail and even when we're weak. Lord, I'm glad you know exactly who we are. You know the numbers of our hair. Lord, Father, you know exactly everything about us, but Lord, you still yet you loved us. You even knew us before we was lovable, and Lord, you still loved us, and we're thankful for that this evening. But Lord, it's been a good day. It's been a blessed day. It's been an eventful day. Lord, Father, I want to say, Lord, we want to finish this in the right way. We want to hear from heaven. We want to hear your message, Lord. I know, Lord, Father, we like to hear preaching, Lord, Father. I know we love to preach, but Father, we like it a whole lot better. We love it a whole lot better, Lord, when you do the preaching. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just do the preaching. Preach through me, Lord, Father, as not like unlike you ever have before. Lord, I got folks that can drive me, Lord. If you wear me out, Lord, for the cause of this message, Lord, may it be. But Lord, Father, not only praying, Lord, Father, that you would anoint me with that fresh oil, but Lord, I pray for the hearts that's going to hear it. I pray that every heart would be open to hear exactly what you have to say. Father, that we would that our hearts would be open not only to hear what you have to say, but listen and apply it to our life. Father, that we may be used, Lord, Father, in the ways that you want to use us, Lord, to be a vessel unto honor, not a vessel unto dishonor. It's in thy son, sweet, precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. As we said, we're going to preach on salt and want to be a salty Christian this evening. Many things in life, many things that go on in life, but the one thing that this world needs to see is a salty Christian. I used to hear this, and people would always say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And I remember hearing a preacher saying one time, if you put a salt block between that horse and the water trough, that horse will go to the water to drink. But I want to say this evening, that's one thing this world needs to have. The Bible says, he that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. I say what this world needs tonight, they need to have a good dose, a good thirst, and that of the Lord. A good thirst and that of salvation, a good thirst of Jesus Christ. A good thirst of Holy Ghost-filled conviction and Holy Ghost-filled salvation and a Holy Ghost-filled life and walking with God. But I will say this evening, no one will ever get that thirst unless first they got something to get them salty, something that would drive that thirst to make it very overpowering. And I will say this, when the life of a believer, when the life of one who has been born again, when they are doing the things that God wants them to do, following in the ways that God wants them to do, I'm not saying living perfect and living above sin or living without sin, but I do believe this, but when a person is born again and saved, there is days, there is times when you can realize that you're not messing and dabbling in the worlds of sin. And I will say this, when the world sees you and you're in the presence of the world, Brother Tommy, what they don't need to see is a person who's been overtaken by sin. They don't need to see a child of God being overtaken by faults and sin. Can I say this? It's still right and it still needs to be right. I know some people say, well, preacher, none of us is perfect, and that's absolutely right. But the Bible and God demands perfection. And I will say this evening, the only way you can get that perfection in your life is if you still cling to Jesus and still cling to his word. They're not just ideas, or they're not just suggestions, but the Lord says that we ought to be salty. I want to remind everybody that salt, everybody knows what salt is. We go to the restaurants, we go to the house, we have homecomings and friends and family days. One of the things that we set up, we get the tables all nice and neat. We get the accompaniments that go with the table, the centerpiece. Make sure we got enough chairs set out, enough tables set out. And the one thing they always say, don't forget the salt and the pepper. They got to be put out on the table. I like what Job said in Job chapter number 6 and verse number 6. He says, how can you eat the unsavory meat unless you got some salt? I will say this, this life that we're living, this life that we have now in Christ Jesus, it is the best life that you'll ever have. It's the
best life that you'll ever get. There's nothing out there that can compare the life that you have in Jesus Christ. Brother Rollins asked me, Brother Dale asked me to sing, "I'm proud to be a Christian." I love that second verse. It says, "Don't look on me with pity, because I have no need of that. For the life that I have in Jesus is the best life I've ever had." I don't know about anybody else, but this life still thrills me. Jesus still amazes me, and this life still makes a difference. Why? Because there's salt in this life. The salt that makes a difference in our world. You say, "Preacher, I'm not following you." You pray real hard, and we'll get through this, and we'll go to the house and say amen. Salt is a mineral essential for life. We need salt in our body. We need salt in the cells. The Bible, or the biological fact, it states that every cell has salt in it. And we have a certain amount of salt in our body. That's why some people don't realize when you sweat, you're actually sweating out some salt, some minerals. It's coming out your pores, and so we need it. It is either, salt is either mined or it's accumulated after it is evaporated. We got salt mines, and some folks evaporate the seawater to gather up the salt. And you say, "Preacher, why are you giving this to us?" You need to realize and know some facts about salt so you can see why it's so important to Christian life. I know facts may bore people, and we don't live by facts. We live by faith. But can I say something? The devil's not in the details. God is in the details. And if you'll sit there and take some time and mull over these things, Brother Josh, you'll find a blessing in everything that God has to give. Is everybody with the preacher? I'll say this. It can be found in almost anywhere. It's one of our basic tastes that we have upon our tongue is to taste the salt. In ancient China, in ancient Greece, in ancient Israel, in ancient Rome, the ancient Hittites, the ancient Egypt, and ancient India, and all kinds of ancient, they had salt. Salt was a big commodity. Salt was very important to life. I mean, they built roadways and tradeways. They had trade routes. They even built cities around salt mines and places where they can get salt. I mean, a lot of people don't know and realize just how important salt was. But a lot of times people may not, can I give you a little piece of facts or thing kind of blew my mind? We get our word salary from the word salt because the Romans used to pay their soldiers with salt, or they give them money so they can buy salt. That's where we get the saying that they are worth their pound, their weight of salt. I will say this, there's some people out there, Brother James, that's not worth their weight in salt. But I will say this, I know back in those days it's what it's from. We get our word salad from the root word of salt because they used to season their greens and their vegetables with salt. I mean, a lot of people love salt. We sprinkle things and season things. But a lot of people didn't know how really important salt was. They just thought it was the little salt shaker, the white salt shaker, or the shaker that sat upon the table. Some of you punk kids like to loosen up the cap on it and wait for somebody else to dump it on their food. I'm looking out some of you people with a grin on your face. I think one of you may have done that in the past. And I'll say this, you got me one time before, but you ain't ever getting me again. Salt's important. It's not to be wasted. But Jesus said that salt has to have a savor. It has to be used. It has to be used for something. And I want to say this evening, that if salt had lost its savor, it's good for nothing. It's to be cast out and trodden underfoot. If I was here this evening, I had a doubt in my mind if I was effective. If I had a doubt in my mind if I was impacting. If I had a doubt in my mind if I was making a difference in this world or in somebody else's life, I'd run to the altar and say, "Lord, would you please make me salty? Lord, would you please increase the saltness of my life? Lord, would you help me to be something special for somebody else besides myself? Lord, may it not be about me, but may it be about you, because this life has been set up. This life has been blessed." I sat there and I prayed this night. I sat there thinking about this. "Lord, just save me. And now I'm indebted to all the world to tell them just how good you are and how good you will be to them." Somebody say amen. We find one of the first places we find salt in the Bible, one of the first places you'll find it, we find it in Genesis chapter number 19. We find where Lot's wife was told, and Lot and his family was told not to turn back and look at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says, he said, the time that you turn around and look, he said, thou shalt be turned unto a pillar of salt. We all know the scripture. The Bible says that Lot was being preached on or spoke of at many places in the Bible. But Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he told them, remember Lot's wife. May I say this? If God, if you've been called, you've been saved. Now, some people might say, well, Lot was a waste. Lot was a man who was in trouble. Can I say this? Lot was a man of a preacher of righteousness. The Bible says he preached the gospel. Lot started off on the right track, but Lot went the wrong way. Why? Because he fixed his eyes towards Sodom. Can I say this? this. I want to say something right now. Sodom is the top of the world. Sodom is the top of immorality. And once you fix your eyes and pitch your tent towards Sodom, mark her down, friend, you'll lose your saltiness. You'll lose your power. You'll lose your effectiveness. You'll lose your testimony. You'll no longer be powerful. You'll be a byword. And when you turn around and look back for something to draw, something that you remember, remember Lot's wife. She'll be turned. You, she was turned, and you'll be turned into that pillar of salt. You say, preacher, will I be turned to a pillar of salt? Literally, no. God will finally get out of you what he's been trying to get out of you all along. And that's a good testimony and unto him. We find another place where we find salt. And this is the things I'm going to get to, and I'm going to get to the message. This is all introduction. Leviticus chapter number 2 and verse number 13, it says, in every oblation at thy meat offering shall thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. The meat offering was the offering that they offered unto the Lord for the bountiful blessings that he provided. And every oblation of the meat offering was to be seasoned with salt. You said, preacher, why on earth would we season the meat offering with salt? Exactly what Job said in chapter number 6 and verse number 6, to make it taste better. Somebody said, you know, we say, man, we take it, man. That's the reason why we salt things, is to make things better. Ain't that right? Y'all with the preacher? Oblation means it's the offering during worship. Somebody say amen right there. An oblation is the offering that we make during worship. Brother Eddie, I think every time we come to the house of God, as Brother James said, we don't punch the clock. We don't walk in and say, morning, Ralph, morning, Sam, and punch the clock and wait for the whistle. Every day we're supposed to offer up that oblation unto the Lord. And every day we offer it up, it's supposed to be seasoned with salt. You say, preacher, what you get now? There ain't nothing worse than unsavory worship. There's nothing worse than dead worship. There's nothing worse than unspiritual worship. I mean, we're living in the days and times when people say, put a little boogie in it, put a little rib with it, dance with it, and that was what makes it right. Friend, that's not making it right. What we need to do is put some salt in our worship. I mean, some true, blue, tried and true, Christ proven and testimonies that give. That's why I love looking back and seeing Sister Debbie when she testified during prayer requests, the tears running from her eyes, her hands raised up. It may not have tickled you as much and shook your salt shaker, but it seasoned some worship for me. Why? Because God still answered prayers. God still moves in homes. So what should we do? We should offer up that oblation. We should offer up that meat offering, thanking God for the blessings that he gives, and let's put some salt in her that God would be pleased with a taste. We're living in days and times when dried up dead worship we think is good. That's why I like that song. That youth group hasn't sung that song, that first one, and I'm glad you picked it out. You said, preacher, all it was a two-verser, and it said the same thing. You know what? But we need to sing a song that's pleasing into the ears of our God. Hey, man, that's right. I know some people, they say, well, preacher, some of those songs, I can't get them down. Some of those songs, hey, they're just sometimes hard to sing. I can't get the pitch. I can't get the beat and can't get the rhythm. But, friend, if we played Hank Williams Jr., AC/DC, if we played that Katy Perry thing, that God-forsaken thing, and Taylor Swift, we play all them songs, they can sing them like nothing flat. Somebody say amen. And don't you look at me like you're super spiritual. We'll put on Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire, and most of you know every single word of that song. But friend, it does not offer an oblation unto the Lord. Friend, it doesn't put salt in the worship. Oh, I thank God when we worship God. That means we have a free access to praise him for what he's done. I mean, is anybody here tonight can say, Lord has done something in my life. The Lord has blessed my life. The Lord has granted in my life. The Lord has moved in my life. I mean, has he put food on your table? Amen. Has he healed your loved ones? Amen. Has he saved your loved ones? Amen. Then we should offer up some salt with our oblation. I say sometimes we come in and we're tired. I say sometimes we get kind of bent and get kind of wore out. Brother Tommy said it, sometimes we get upset with one another. And guess who has to pay the price? The Lord does. Why? Because we won't put no salt on our oblation. Friend, you mark it down. You listen to this preacher, listen to him well. If you're trying to worship the Lord, if you ain't offering up the oblation season with salt, God ain't going to have it. He says, now in the Leviticus, they offered it up every day. You say, preacher, that means we got to find us a sacrifice, kill that sacrifice. It can't be a bloody sacrifice. This was the unbloody sacrifice. And it was offered with a drink offering. No, what he's saying is, in this New Testament day, in this New Testament era, in this New Testament church, He says we're supposed to offer up our worship, our oblation and thanksgiving. We're supposed to offer up the things, praising God for His bountiful blessing, recognizing just who butters our bread. He gives the bread, He gives the butter, and He butters the bread. Somebody say amen. And we should offer up thanksgiving and worship seasoned with salt. We find also in Numbers chapter number 18 and verse number 19, we find that salt is a covenant. The Bible says that they made a salt covenant. The Lord made a salt covenant with David. The Lord made a salt covenant back in those days. What is a salt covenant, preacher? Salt is also as a preserver. It preserves. That covenant that we make with God, can I say this? I cannot hold up my end of the covenant, but I'm glad He can hold up His end of the covenant. That salt covenant means it's preserved. That means it's sealed. That means it's fine. I know some people will sit there, and I talked to a fellow last night. He says, I actually believe there's some people who actually got saved, but they messed things up and they got lost and they didn't die and go to heaven. I sat there and it didn't matter what I tell that fella. He wasn't going to listen. He wasn't going to listen to the truth. But friends, salvation's not based upon your actions. Salvation is based upon His action. Oh, I can say this. We can't live as close as we want to live. We all come short. We need to be dusted off and set back on our feet and scooted along. But friends, salvation's not based upon our walk. It was based upon His sacrifice. And though Abraham one time was told by God, He said, Abraham, lay out the sacrifices and divide them in half. It was the covenant that they were supposed to walk through together. That covenant was to be an everlasting covenant. That covenant is a serious covenant, Brother Josh. I don't know if Abraham could have carried that covenant or not, but God looked down and said, I know Abraham couldn't carry the covenant. During the covenant, you had to walk together side by side between the pieces, and that covenant means that you would hold up your end and the other person would hold up their end. But Abraham couldn't hold up his end of the bargain compared to God. So you know what God did? He told Abraham, He said, take your little sleep right now, Abraham. You sleep yourself real good. I'll walk between that sacrifices all by myself. I'll hold up my end of the covenant, and I'll hold up your end of the covenant. Bless God, tonight we're saved and sealed unto the day of redemption. Bless the Lord. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to, because God has made a covenant with me. That salt covenant that He made, it preserves. It preserves. Some people might say, well, preacher, I'm not perfect. Stick with God. He will make you perfect. You see, how can you say that, preacher? Jude said to him who is able to present you faultless. Woo! I mean, what? Woo! I mean, all the problems that we have in our life, all the mistakes that we make and all the dumb things that we do, all the stupid things that we say, God still said He's going to present us faultless. Why? Because He's preserving the covenant. He salted the covenant. Can I say we need salt in our worship? We need salt in our covenant. Can I say this? We need salt in our water. 2 Kings chapter number 2. I was going to read the verses, but I'm just going to give you the cliff notes. The water's bad. The water's not, as the writer wrote. That means it's no good for drinking. Elisha says, bring me a curse. And he put salt in it. And he took it and he slung it into the water. Now, scientifically, if they're throwing it into a spring that's springing up, the salt would go in there and come right back out, right? Well, he wasn't talking about natural salt. The salt is not what cured the water. It was God who cured the water. Y'all hearing me? Y'all hearing the preacher? It was an example given that it's not the salt that does the work. It's God who does the work. You said, preacher, what's that got to do with us? I think we need some springs that need to be salted. I think some springs are getting kind of bitter. Some springs are coming to naught. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? In the Gospel of John in the 7th chapter, we find some scripture where the Lord is speaking and speaking unto the people. I do believe it's chapter number 7. If I'm wrong, I'll just paraphrase it. I ain't got time to hem-haul around. But the Bible says in the Gospel or the book of the Gospel of John in chapter number 7, verse number 37, it said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up, cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come after me and drink. I'll say this, I'm glad He offers a taste. He offers water. That was the best water. Can I share this with you? Can I say, walk in this Christian walk, you get saved. You get saved all by being sealed, saved, and delivered. I mean, you get all of them. You get God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They're all three are one, and one is all three. There's one Lord. One Lord, one God, but you get all three at salvation. I hear them people saying, God gets saved, that's when you get the Father. You got to go back and get Jesus. You got to go back and get the Holy Ghost. That's not Bible. God, it's not an installment plan, friend. It's all at once. Somebody say amen. But thereon after, the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 6, he that hath begun a good work, and you shall perform it until the day of Christ. Mark her down, friend. We need some maintenance work. We need some care. We need some TLC. We need some preventive maintenance to make things better. And this Bible says this about, he said, any man thirst, let him come and get something to drink. Now, I said that to say this. I remember as a kid, we'd go down to Pumroy and go to Flat Rock, Menifee County. Some of you know Menifee County a little bit. And my mom and my granny and my pa had that cistern. That water would filter into that cistern. And my granny would put that water in an orange pitcher with a plastic top and a white handle. I remember the pitcher just like it was yesterday. And that water would come out, and then it was ice cold, Brother Tommy. And I'd take it and I'd pour it in a cup, and I'd take a big whiff of it with my nose before I put it in my mouth. And then the sulfur smell, it'd gag you, almost burn your nose hair out. Anybody know what I'm talking about, that sulfur thing? But can I say something? It was the only water that they had back then. You didn't buy jugged water and bottled water. You didn't. All you could have to do was drink the sulfur water. So I would just hold my breath, Sister Shirley, and I'd drink that water. But can I tell you something? Once you got past the smell, there was nothing better tasting than that water to come out of that cistern. You said, preacher, you're crazy. That may be your story. You tell yours when you get time. I'm the pastor and I'm preaching. This is my story. And so after a while and years go by, you know what? I didn't smell that smell no more. I took some buddies down there. They'd smell that water and they said, man, I don't see how you can drink that water. I have not tasted water since those days. I don't think they'll be able to produce water like it. They can't put it in a bottle. There's just something about good old-fashioned water. And I want to say this, that water that Jesus gives, some folks may say, preacher, I don't see how you can do those things. I don't see how you can go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night. I don't see how you can go on Wednesday night and Thursday nights. I definitely don't see how you can go to revival Monday through Saturday, go to singings and go to revivals and do things all the time. I remember one time me and Brother Tommy and Sister Debbie, I think we spent, 3 weeks in a row going to church. Somebody says, how can you do that? Friend, once you get in there and get a good drink of it, nothing will satisfy your thirst like the thirst of the water that Jesus gives. He told that woman, he said, you'll thirst again from this well. He said, but the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. John chapter 7, verse number 37, but verse number 38, he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. Amen, right there, that's a message right there. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That means we're producing something. James said that that fountain ought not to produce sweet water and bitter. Right? You know what keeps you from producing that bitter water? You need a little salt to be put in that water. Salt's good for water condition. I mean, many people's got water softeners in their home to make that water a little bit more pliable for the house. Why? Because salt softens it up, takes out the bad stuff, leaves the good stuff. You know what we need in our Christian walk? We need to put some salt in that springing up to everlasting life. Well, why? So we can make a difference. Can I say this, that with all those things put together, this is the part, this is the message. I'm getting to the part, and then I'll quit. Salt melts ice. We use salt for roadways, walkways. And we use salt for pathways. We use salt for doorways. We use salt for all those things. But you know what salt would be good for to melt? A heart. Salt would be real good, Brother Tom, to be used for a heart. You said, preacher, I don't understand that. The salt that we give, I think Paul said in Colossians chapter number 4, verse number 6, let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Why? Because the words that we speak can melt that heart of ice. The words that we speak can make a difference in that heart. Brother James talked about a woman who's been spurned and burned at a church. And what she does not need is somebody else to ridicule her and pound on her. What she needs is somebody who will love her and give words of truth to her. Salt sometimes, when you give it, but salt melts. It'll melt the ice. I've heard people say, preacher, what are you getting at? I mean, you can try to do this, you can try to do that, but the best way to melt ice is put some salt on it. You see dump truck loads of it. I mean, you see it all over the place. Salt has an effect. It melts the ice and it leaves things white everywhere. Somebody say amen. It takes care of everything. You can use that salt to melt that stony, ice-cold heart. Salt also will clean the wound. It'll burn out the impurities. Everybody with the preacher? Don't fall asleep on me now. I know, like, preacher, we know these things. We know these things. But salt does. It'll cure a wound. It'll clean out a wound. There's all kinds of things. He said, how can you prove that? I'm getting to my next to favorite part, because salt's good for meat. It preserves. Look, I got somebody to perk up and said, meat. How many people remember them old salt houses and smoke houses? Huh? Amen right there. But there's a repercussion to that salt ham. It's called like a gallon of water after you eat it. I've said this before. I had a Faulkner family reunion. Aunt Connie come out with that salt-cured ham. I ate about 4 or 5 slices. And I was like, man, that's the best ham you ever eat. I think I had to stop at every convenience store between Frenchburg and Mount Sterling and bought, I think, all their water up to drink it and to last me until I got to Ripley, Ohio to buy more water. But salt does something when it comes to those things. It preserves and it cures. Salt kills bacteria. Salt repels bugs. A lot of folks got bugs in their life. And you don't ever know when the bugs show up, but you find out when they make a nest. Somebody say, amen, the stink bug problem. Man, we're still dealing with stink bugs. Them stupid orange bugs that people call ladybugs, they ain't ladybugs. They're just stupid orange bugs. They're everywhere. They get into everything. But you put some salt down, they won't go near that salt. Saw an old-timer in Harlan, Kentucky. He had that salt house and smokehouse. He cold-smoked it and salted it. Said it'd take days to do it. But he put it in this like net-looking thing, and he smothered it in salt and hung it and cold-smoked it. He said, how long does that stuff last? He said, well, I got some stuff in the house over here, up here hanging. You might want some. He took a knife, went over and took that big old piece of ham, and he cut off the outside. Now, the outside was gray and kind of greenish, and Tina's going, some of you are going, oh, my God, that's nasty. The outside's not ruined. The outside's preserved. That wasn't bacteria. That wasn't mold. That was an encasing. When you cut away that casing, that ham looked like it was just been processed by the hour before. That ham was 7 years old. You say, preacher, you go right ahead on that one. I ain't touching that ham. Can I tell you something? Back in those days, you didn't have a Kroger you went to on the every whip stitch to get a ham. What happened? That salt took care of things. You know what would be good for a person tonight? Get a good old dose of salt in their life. Right. It'll cure all the things that's ailing you, drive away the bugs, burn away the wounds, clean things up, and it'll preserve you. And you know what? It may want some people to be around you. There's some people who just, you know, they just ain't got no personality. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You try to talk with them, try to hook up with them, try to be there with them, text them, talk with them. It's just like talking, you know. They need some salt in their life. Why? It makes a difference. Here's the message. Y'all ready for the message? All that was introduction. Pure salt never goes bad. Pure salt never goes bad. The only way for pure salt to be foul and good for nothing is something foreign to salt gets in. So basically, the only thing you can have with salt is salt. If you put anything else in salt, it'll ruin the salt. So many people say, well, preacher, I just can't help it. I've tried to live this Christian life. No, 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 no. The Christian life's a pure life. It's not Jesus' fault we get in trouble. It's not Jesus' fault we get foul. It's not Jesus' fault we lose our savor. It's what we have allowed in our life. Right? Too many times people say, well, preacher, I'd do this and I'd do that. You would not do this and do that until you get the things that's polluting your salt out of your life. We preached this morning about your pet sins, your pet snake. And everybody will hold on about them women, them people had them pet snakes. And they think, there's no way, they never bothered me. When you least expect it, man, they just take over and they destroy you. So many times people don't realize it. And I will dare say this, and you may not say it, but that's why God called me to preach here at Mount Zion Baptist Church. Some of you's in big trouble because your salt's lost its savor. It's good for nothing. It needs to be cast out. You said, preacher, that's a dire place to be in. But I'm glad the Lord didn't leave us in that position. I know this, and some of y'all may know this, and as the people heard this message before, they know where I'm probably going with this if they can remember. I mean, all you people remember the messages I preached back in November, right? Did you hear an amen? Never understood why people put rice in their salt to keep the water out. Put the rice in the salt to keep the water out of it, the moisture out of it, because if moisture gets in your salt, ain't nothing worse than a clumped up salt shaker. And how many of you saw your kids take the salt shaker, beat it on the table, and you got to holler at them and say, stop beating the salt shaker, you're going to break it and bust the glass everywhere? You say, what's it got to do with us this evening? I know exactly how to get your salt back to being pure and being good. Don't put rice in it, put Christ in it. Yeah. Put Christ back in your life. You say, what do you mean, preacher? You have alienated the Lord and put him out of your life. You've allowed more of the contaminants in your life and you have not allowed the Lord to be number one. This world needs saved people to be salty. Saved people to be. They don't need to know how deep your theology is. They don't need to know how much Bible verses you know. But I believe you should know Bible verses. I think you should have. You should know what theology is. You should know what you believe. Okay? But I say this, 90% of the time, how people see you act makes a huge difference in their walk and what they see in your walk. You know, I have people say this, well, preacher, I'm not perfect. You know, sometimes I get mad and sometimes I lose my temper. Hey, I understand I do the same thing, but can I say something? That's not an excuse to get away with it and do it. I've heard the stories. I've heard people say, I even told you the stories. There's a woman I know, love her with all my heart. I've been trying to get her to come to Mount Zion Baptist Church, and she will not come. I think we spook the far out of what we do. I don't think she likes this style of worship. I don't think she likes this style of preaching. She likes that easy stuff. She says she's a Christian. She come to me one time trying to sell me Applebee's cards. I want to know if I want to buy Applebee's cards. And I said, no, I ain't going to that bar. I want no Applebee's cards. I know it's going to be a fly in people's face. They're going to get mad at me for saying Applebee's cards, but that's the story. I said, no, I don't like going to bars. And I ain't going to buy your card. And by the way, what's your card for? She said, it's for my church. I said, your church is selling Applebee's cards? She said, yeah. Some people say, well, preacher, that's just whack. Here's the thing I'm getting at. There has to be a difference between us and the world. As much as you can, keep the contaminants of the world out of your church, and you won't have no problem being savory. Right? She said, you won't buy one? I said, I'm not buying one. I said, but if you need some kind of help, I said, I'll try to help, talking and things. She said, well, we're selling cheeseburgers and everything like that, trying to raise money for our youth. And I think, hey, you know, sell a cheeseburger. Everybody likes a cheeseburger, right? I go by where they were selling the cheeseburgers at. She's wearing Daisy Dukes and a bikini top with her friend wearing Daisy Dukes and a bikini top selling cheeseburgers for the church. Quiet, ain't it? Do you know most people would say, don't judge them. Don't judge them. Don't judge them. Jason, I ain't judging them. I know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Right? And you can look and see that salt ain't got no savory to it. Now, I ain't saying anybody in here is out there in the cut-off shorts and Daisy Dukes and bikini tops selling hamburgers, and God help you, you better hope I don't see it. You better hope I don't do it. But here's the problem that we have in today's day and time. It's not took serious. You'd be amazed of how many people is turned off by the actions of so-called church people and saved people. How we deal with a situation makes a huge difference. How we react to a situation makes a huge difference. And I'm not preaching from a position where I'm looking down on anybody, Brother Mark. I'm guilty at times too. Has there things come out of my mouth that ought not to come out of my mouth? Absolutely. Have I told past stories I ought not to tell? Absolutely. But can I say this? There has to come a time in our lives when we have to say, there has to be a separation if I'm going to be effective. Everybody wants to look and see if James is salty. Is James being salty? I tell you what we need to do is stop looking at everybody else's salt shaker. We need to look inside our own and see if we got any Christ, rice, any Christ in our salt to keep us savory. I guarantee you this. If you put yourself between a lost person and Jesus Christ and you're salty, you'll want what you got. You said, how do you know that, preacher? Because that Bible says that. In the Gospel of Mark, and I want to say this, he says that we should have that salt and have peace one with another. Can I say that the salt that I have should be good enough to season Eddie's life too? And Eddie should season my life. When we come to church, we should want to come to church. Why? Because I get to be in church with the pals and with the Stovers and with Debbie and Rita and Tom and Donna and Jason and April. And I can name everybody's name, the birds, but that's what salt does for each other. Not only do we season for the lost person, but we should season each other. And you said, preacher, there's some people, I don't know if they got any salt in their shaker or not. Well, don't you worry about their salt shaker. Some folks may need a little bit more salt than others, right? Everybody likes a french fry, don't they? Anybody here don't like french fries? You ever went to one of them french fries places, you get them french fries out, and you open that up, and they're good and hot, but they ain't got no salt on them. They still good french fries. I'm a sucker for a french fry. But they's a whole lot better with salt on them.
Coming to church is good. It's real good. But it's a whole lot better to come to church when we're ready to season and salt one another.